Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report, where Bryn Forbes just hit another three-pointer. Did I use that one yet?
No, I think
whatever.
You did.
I thought I might have used it after the Michigan game. I wasn't really sure. Anyways, I am Tyler. Can I finish this? Okay,
go ahead.
Let's start over. I am Tyler Hayward, Red Cedar Report, as part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Red Cedar Report to listen to our past shows. Today on the show, as you can tell, iSportsWeb contributor Ryan McComber is going to be with me as we recap the Rutgers game. We're going to look a little bit ahead to the Ohio State game. Obviously, with Michigan State's goals now clearly in front of them as far as what they can do with the seeding. We're going to talk a little bit about the Big Ten tournament as well. I know I did mention to you guys that Jay Vincent was going to be on the show today. Unfortunately, he had a scheduling conflict. We will try to get him on. I talked to him this morning, and we are going to try to get that sorted out within the next week or two here. Anyways, Ryan, now I'll invite you to talk to me. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How about you, Tyler?
Good. I'm glad you're anxious to get into this, so let's start right away. Michigan State manhandled Rutgers last night. It wasn't exactly pretty, which anytime you can say that about a 30-point win, I always consider that a very good thing because at least those teachable moments still. What was your reaction about the game?
I mean, Rutgers is really, really awful. I mean, they're probably the worst Power 5 team in the country, but, I mean, if you can win a game by 30 points, it's usually a good thing. So, obviously, Bryn Forbes was on fire once again. 11 three-pointers, breaking a school record, and he has a new Big Ten record now. Valentine didn't play that great, but his stat line looks not awful at all. Say the same for Costello, still got a double-double. The first half was awful. They played that might have been one of the worst halves they played all year. And once the second half started, Tell Izzo probably lighted a fire under them, and it was all Michigan State from there.
Yeah, Bryn Forbes just absolutely filling up the net. I'm looking at this right now. Valentine had 14 points. Costello had 10. So if you're going to sit there and you're going to tell me before the season starts, or you know a little bit through the Big Ten season as Michigan State started to get going, that Valentine and Costello are going to combine for 24 points and have 7 turnovers, I would not believe that we would win a game, let alone by on the road, let alone by 31.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but part of that, I mean, shows how much the team has improved overall, and part of that is because Rutgers is so awful. But, yeah, I mean, before the season, you tell me that happens, I think Michigan State loses that game probably by double digits. I mean, obviously it depends on the opponent, but if you're playing somebody good, I don't think that they come close to winning a game if you get those numbers from those two.
Right, and, I mean, at least the way I see it is, hopefully, Valentine is not going into a mellow Trimble-like funk. We've kind of talked about his minutes lately. Izzo has said it, where he needs to cut back on Valentine's minutes. He only had 30 minutes last night, which is about, I don't know, just 4 or 5 minutes less than you would normally like him to play for any other game, whether that be Ohio State, Wisconsin, Iowa, whatever. And so he cut back on his minutes still. It looks like he is trying to get him some rest before the tournament pushes.
Yeah, and I think that's probably needed for him. If they're up on Ohio State big, obviously with it being senior day, I see him probably leaving the game early, hopefully. And, I mean, Ohio State, we're going to get into that a little bit later, but they're not that great of a team, so... And Michigan State's playing well, and they played well at home lately. I think that should be a game that MSU wins. So we'll see if he can get
that we lost Ryan for a second, right? And if you're there, feel free to chime back in. But, I mean, he's right. Denzel, he's not shot well as of late. Only just over 38% over the last three games. And we're not saying he's playing awful. I mean, the five turnovers don't help a stat line. But when you incorporate the fact that he's still getting his seven rebounds and seven assists per game, he actually had, I think it was eight of each of those last night. Yeah, it was. He had eight rebounds and eight assists last night. I think it speaks volumes to what Valentine is actually capable of. The fact that he can play that bad, the fact that Michigan State can win on the road in the conference by that much, this team is capable of a lot. And if Valentine gets his shot back, because let's face it, Brent Forbes is not going to shoot like this. Brent Forbes was just absolutely on fire. He's the nation's leader in three-point field goal percentage, but he cannot keep it up, not at this rate. He's not going to be able to shoot like he did against Oakland. He's not going to be able to shoot like he did against Rutgers last night. He's not going to shoot like he did against Michigan, because there are teams, there's physical teams, there's teams like Iowa that tend to give him some trouble. So Valentine needs to get his shot back to at least balance out what Bryn Forbes is going to lose as Michigan State hopefully gets deeper into the tournament.
Yeah, I agree with that, especially on Bryn Forbes. I mean, he's not going to shoot. He's shooting over 50% from three-point land this year, but I mean, you can't sustain shooting like he had against Oakland or Michigan or Rutgers last night. Like you said, I mean, Valentine has to be able to improve his shooting from what he's had of late to, you know, kind of take some of the load off Forbes, because when Forbes doesn't play well, Michigan State usually does not win, or they have a tough time winning. You know, he has to if he can't go off, you can't expect that every game. You need Denzel Valentine to shoulder some of that load offensively, for shooting-wise. But, I mean, you're not going to get that out of Brent Forbes every game. Like you said, you're absolutely right.
And, I mean, there are other players who can step up, but it's been a little bit more few and far between, if you will. Marvin Clark, he's had a couple of good games now. But he's not going to sit there and give you 10 points tonight. Deontay Davis, he's obviously got the potential to do it, but he's not going to be able to do that on a night-to-night basis. Aaron Harris is probably the biggest wild card in the country as far as what he's able to contribute to this team. And so they've got the guys to do it. Costello, he'll get you at least 10 to 16 every game, regardless of the situation. He might end up with 9 points one game, but guess what? He's going to have 17 rebounds. And so, I mean, I think he's the most consistent piece right now. He's been the most consistent piece throughout the season. He's not, like Valentine, he's not played extremely well over the last couple games, but he's still putting up numbers that, well, on his end, replicate a second-team All-Big Ten candidate.
Yeah, I agree, and the good thing for Michigan State is that they don't really need, obviously, Valentine and Costello to play incredibly good when you're playing against Penn State and Rutgers, who are two of the worst teams in the conference. They can have off games, but they obviously need people like Aaron Harris, Deontay Davis, and at times Matt McQuaid shoulder the load. Because Brent Forbes, Costello, and Valentine aren't going to be on every game, like we've said.
Right, and look, just the fact that Michigan State's been able to make this run. I mean, look, it's been the last three games Valentine has struggled with his shot. See, I'm not saying he's struggled. He struggled with his shot. That's all it is. I did see some of that overreaction on social media earlier today. But over the last three games, he struggled with a shot. I don't care if it's Ohio State without Jayshon Tate. Penn State and Rutgers as the three teams. Two of those games were on the road. One of them was at OSU, and Michigan State has won those three games by an average of 27 points. If Valentine gets going, Michigan State's win those games by 35 at least, each of them.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with you. And, yeah, those teams aren't good, but if you get Valentine going and Costello going consistently and Brent Forbes stays on, I mean, I don't know if a team in the country can beat Michigan State. Like I've said before, right now I believe Kansas and Michigan State are the two best teams in the country. Kansas has been on a roll as of late, as is Michigan State. And those teams coming into March, I think those two teams should be the odds-on favorite to win the whole thing.
And we will actually, no, let's talk about that right now. Michigan State is getting a lot of love. They're the favorites in Vegas. They're getting a lot of love from the analysts, which is always a scary thing as far as I'm concerned when it comes to them picking Michigan State. That's another thing that we kind of want to tie into the Valentine thing, because the fact is Valentine's not been playing well over the last three games. Yeah, every time you look at ESPN or the Big Ten Network, you just hear how great of a team Michigan State is, how they are the favorites to win the national championship. And their star player is taking the back seat to Bryn Forbes.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan State, they're not just Denzel Valentine, obviously. I mean, they have pieces around him, and he does make them better. But they have the pieces around him to make a national title run. You know, you've got the guy, the two guys down low who I think can, Costello himself can just dominate a game in the post. And then you've got the guy who can shoot the lights out behind the three-point line in Brent Forbes. And, you know, if Aaron Harris steps up, who knows what he can do. And then you got Valentine, who's obviously a National Player of the Year candidate. They've got all the pieces. The question is, can they put it all together for another, you know, six games once the tournament comes around? And, I mean, I personally think they can, but Valentine needs to play better than he has lately, and so Costello needs to step up a little bit more, too.
Yeah, and when you break down how this Michigan State team has played this season, there's always been one thing or two things that we've been able to go apart and nitpick. Last night, Denzel Valentine's play. A couple nights ago, it was Aaron Harris disappearing. Actually, that's happened a couple times over the past few weeks. But there's always been things where you can go back and nitpick. Hey, Deontay Davis didn't have his best game after he looked like he was finally stepping up. Aaron Harris finally stepping up against Penn State got ripped apart on defense and didn't contribute anything to the offense. I think he was like just 2-for-7 in that game. You know, Valentine doesn't play well the last few nights, or doesn't shoot well, and he has a couple of bad turnovers. I don't think all season long this team has really put together, wire to wire, a complete game from everybody. There's always been little thumps, which I understand is part of the game and that is the team thing and whatever else. But these guys, more often than not, are playing to their maximum level, if you will. They're playing to their maximum level, but they're all not doing it together. If they can all get together at the same time, let's say mid to late March and early April, I don't even think Kansas is going to hold a candle to them.
I think that's actually pretty fair. I mean, Kansas is the one team that, and obviously North Carolina for past and obvious reasons, that are the two teams that really worry me about Michigan State facing them. But, yeah, I think if everybody is playing well at the same time to their maximum level, I just don't see anybody beating them. I 100% agree with you on that.
And, this team, right now they are one win away from assuredly locking up the number two seed. Are they possibly overlooking this game since it appears that they're going to end up with a double bye?
Yeah, and I think that that's huge. You know, it gives them, I mean, I think that they're going to get the double bye unless something crazy happens, even if they lose. But, yeah, that's pretty big. I mean, it gets the team more rest, and, I mean, they don't have to play an opponent who isn't that good, that does nothing to help them for their seeding in the actual NCAA tournament. I think that's big to have. It gets Valentine rest, like we've talked about, that he's been playing a ton of minutes lately, and for him to get some rest would be big for Michigan State. You know, from what it looks like, Michigan State and Indiana would be the top two seeds, because Indiana obviously already has the one. That sets up Michigan State-Indiana game on a possible Michigan State-Indiana game on a neutral floor, and I think that that would be a pretty good game, even though I think Michigan State would win. This the last time they played Indiana, and of course it was at the Breslin Center. They destroyed them. So, but yeah, it should be interesting to see what happens in the Big Ten tournament. I think that this team could use some games. I'd personally like to see them play Iowa. Whatever happens, I mean, this team's set to make a big run in March, I think.
And when you look at before we focus directly on the LSU game, Bryn Forbes, he had a great game last time out against the Buckeyes. And I think you and me, we kind of had a consensus as far as the All-Big Ten team goes, right?
Yeah.
Hammonds, Farrell, Utah, Valentine, and Trimble. Has Trimble
played
his way out of that?
Right.
Has Trimble played his way out of that spot and Bryn Forbes taken over just because of, well, let's face it, today's society, what have you done for me lately?
You know, I mean, you can make the same argument for the National Player of the Year Award.
Let's say a 16-point game for Bryn Forbes. 16-point game for Bryn Forbes. Does he slide in over Trimble?
I don't think he does. I mean, you can make a really good argument for it. Trimble started out the year pretty well. I think, I mean, Trimble being the better all-around player, even though I agree with you, he has played awful as of late, I think that would put him in the first team over Forbes. But I think you can make an argument for Forbes, but I would personally put Trimble there just because of this overall around effect on Maryland's team. Usually it's a good effect, but as of late, it has not been a good effect.
Right. I mean, you want to talk about Denzel Valentine slumping. This is a guy who's in the slump. He's only shooting like 28% and averaging like 7 turnovers a game. I'm right there with you. I think Trimble's overall body of work is better. It was just something I saw earlier that I was like, it's an interesting concept to think about, but I don't think that it's going to happen. I think Forbes is on second team. I think Costello's on the second team. So, this Ohio State team, they lost Jayshon Tate, but then they turned around and they beat Iowa, who, I mean, I guess you could say they're falling off as of late. Ohio State, one of the better runs in the Big Ten. They've got Iowa's lost 4 games in a row. But Ohio State, I think they've won 5 of 6. Their lone loss was to the Spartans. It was down in Columbus. They're on the bubble. Barely, but they are on the bubble. If they beat Michigan State, they go to the semifinals. Does the same thing hold now that we've seen Michigan State beat them earlier in the year? Does the same thing hold that we talked about before the last Ohio State game? OSU needs to win 2 of their last 3 games, which they already beat Iowa. If they beat Michigan State in, let's say, Big Ten semi, and they go to the Big Ten final, do they get in the tournament?
Ohio State, I think their bad losses are absolute killers, and I don't know if they have enough quality wins, even if they beat Michigan State on Saturday to get in. I mean, I still think that they have to win. If they do beat Michigan State, I still think that they have to win a couple games, maybe one or two games in the conference tournament to get in. I mean, they're barely on the bubble, and, you know, that's what happens when you lose to really bad teams early in the season.
Yeah, losses to UT Arlington, Louisiana Tech. Connecticut's not the greatest team in the world this year. But the rest of their losses aren't that bad. They do have a victory against Kentucky. They have one against Iowa. I think the big thing for them is they didn't come in with at least a top 25 ranking. If they start the season with at least a top 25 ranking, I think they're in if they beat Michigan State. Look at Michigan State, well, last year. You look at what Michigan State did last year, they had a lot of bad losses, didn't have many signature wins, beat Purdue last game of the year, and they got in. It's the same numbers if you want to talk about wins, losses, or at least close enough. I mean, Ohio State has 11 Big Ten wins? When did
yeah,
when has
the bubble this
11
really
Big Ten
bad.
Wins not gotten
that...
you in the big in the tournament?
Yeah, and the thing is, the bubble this year is awful. I mean, I think that that helps Ohio State's cause as well as Michigan's, who's also on the bubble. I think you bring up a fair point about the top 25 not having it earlier in the year. I think that does hurt them, but. The problem is, I'm not sure if, I mean, I know Michigan State lost to Texas Southern earlier in the year, who wound up making the tournament, but I think Ohio State's losses are worse from earlier in the year, are worse than Michigan State's were last year. That's the problem with their resume.
Yeah, but the Texas Southern loss, let's face it, they're a default tournament team. They're in a terrible conference that they just end up winning. That's how it is every year for them. They always finish with like a 18-13 record or something similar to that, and then they sneak into the tournament just because they win. What I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's the worst conference in the country.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean,
there's similarities, but obviously there's differences too. I think one difference is the tournament committee is going to look. Hey, you lost your best player. They lost Tate.
Yeah, right. And with Tate out there, I mean, Ohio State, I've watched some of their games this year, and they're just a frustrating team to watch offensively, and especially without Tate. I know Iowa's been playing awful, but I'm still just absolutely shocked that Ohio State pulled that off without their best player. Ohio State's, they've got a lot of good young players. They're a young team. I just don't think that they're going to get in, even if they beat Michigan State. I think you brought up a good point about the top 25 thing, but at the same time, I think their losses earlier this year just absolutely destroy them.
Right, and I mean, we don't know how the tournament's going to shake out. I mean, the Big Ten tournament, rather. There could be a couple upsets along the way. I mean, Michigan State, for all we know, they could end up playing Minnesota. You know, like, we don't know what is going to happen as far as the Big Ten tournament goes, and if there is an upset along the way, I mean, I think that could hurt Ohio State, because Ohio State needs those big wins. They cannot afford to have that Thursday game where they're playing a lower seed.
Oh yeah,
the lower seed that they're supposed
to
be.
Yeah, they can't play somebody like Minnesota or Nebraska. They need to play the Indianas, the Michigan States, the Iowas, the Purdues. They need quality wins to help make up for.
Yeah, they need to line them up somehow.
Up, exactly, and I think that if they beat Michigan State, they still have to. on Saturday, which I do not think will happen, they still need to win one or two games against quality opponents in the Big Ten tournament.
What does Michigan State need to do to maintain their focus? Because if you listen to Denzel Valentine after the game, he was talking about they kind of looked past Rutgers. What did they do to make sure they don't do the same to Ohio State? Because they blew out Ohio State just a couple weeks ago.
I don't think that they will look ahead, especially with it being senior day for this senior class with Wallman, Valentine, Forbes, and Costello. I think they're going to want to come out and make an impact on the game. I don't see them looking ahead to the Big Ten tournament. I mean, Rutgers is Rutgers. They are absolutely awful, as I've said multiple times today. I mean, it's kind of understandable looking ahead of the next game if you're playing against Rutgers. I think they'll be okay. I don't know if we're going to get a big performance out of Valentine, but I think they'll do enough to beat Ohio State.
Well, I think we'll get a big performance. I just don't know whether it's going to translate to his shot. You know, if he has another, let's say he goes 6 of 15 or something like that, I mean, that's, he could still end up with 11 assists and 14 rebounds. So I think we'll get a big performance from him. Again, I don't know if it's going to translate to a scoring. I think Michigan State does need him to step up if they want to win the Big Ten tournament, or if they want to make a deep push in the March. I think they'd be able to survive a couple games in each tournament without him going off at the rate he was before his fall. But if they want to win the whole thing, they need him playing like he did since just before the Ohio State game a couple weeks ago.
Yep, totally agree with you on that. And I like you said, once you get to play in the, you know, Iowa's, Purdue's, Indiana's, Wisconsin's in the Big Ten tournament, you need him to play well. Same goes for the NCAA tournament. Once you get to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, you need him to play to his potential. And I mean, you can get by teams like Rutgers and Ohio State with him having an off game, but you cannot beat those good teams without him.
And let's not forget, right now, Joe Lunardi, who's probably the best bracketologist, he doesn't miss many teams. I mean, obviously, he's off on seeding a little bit. He doesn't miss many teams, though, as far as when it comes to making the tournament. He has Michigan State as a 2 seed. Look at last year, though. You can't overlook even those 7 seeds.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if Michigan State wins out, they're going to get a 1 seed, no doubt. But I think the thing that matters to them most is obviously who they're matched up with in their bracket. I think they want to avoid North Carolina. I don't think they want to play Virginia 3 straight years, even though they beat them the first two. But it all depends on how they get matched up. But if they win out, they're going to get a 1, maybe in the Midwest, which would be big playing in Chicago.
Well, last time Kansas won the national championship, he was a 1 in the Big West, or in the Midwest. So I think that would bode well for Michigan State. Anyways, that does it for us today. Be sure to check us out next week. We're going to have a regular season wrap-up and recap Ohio State. We're going to look forward to the Big Ten tournament. And I swear we are going to try to get Jay Vincent on the air for you. For Ryan McCumber, I'm Tyler Hayward. You've been listening to the iSports MSU Red Theater Report.